Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Regular listeners of the podcast might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes, but today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Levered. I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode on a Sunday, where today I chat with a CEO, co-founder, and former educator who can speak to today's topic of competency-based instruction. Before we jump into today's podcast episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player, on an app like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it'll take you to all of the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by Levered Learning, a 21st century instructional system for elementary math, created by educators to provide just the right level of support and challenge for every student. Levered gives teachers the ability to create personalized learning paths using real-time data on student progress, tools to support intervention and enrichment. Levered's individualized online math curriculum is proven to increase learning growth by 70% on state testing in the first year of implementation. Learn more at levered.com. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Mitch Slater, CEO and co-founder of Levered. He has a fantastic perspective on competency-based learning and what it looks like to implement this model in the classroom. So in today's episode, you'll hear stories from Mitch's classroom experience, the classrooms and schools he's visited, and some of the things to consider if you'd like to bring this model to your classroom, school, or district. Let's dive into this fantastic conversation with Mitch. Well, welcome, Mitch, to the podcast today. I'm so excited to have you here and on with us. And to kick off our conversation, before we jump into our big topic for today, can you share a bit about your role and background in this space?
Sure. Thank you so much, Monica. I'm Mitch Slater, and I'm really excited to be here as well. My background is really from the classroom. I was a classroom teacher for about 20 years in all. I started out as a substitute, kind of worked my way up. I was also an administrator for a few years, though I was teaching full time while wearing that hat. It's not a combination that I recommend. It's a tough one to maintain. My first classroom was, in terms of a full time position, was with 34 fifth grade students in a sheltered English immersion class in Watsonville, California. So these were students who were learning English as their second language. I had learned enough Spanish that they let me actually take that class as student teacher under contract, and that was my introduction to full time teaching work. And I went in very confident because I had been a substitute for a few years, and really ended the year feeling more or less like a failure. Because for me, no matter how much time and energy I put into that original position, that job, I knew that I hadn't met the needs of the range of students in that classroom. And my experience, through all those 20 years was that no matter what type of school I was in, what grade level, there was always that tremendous range. And I didn't feel like the instructional tools that I had access to really were built for that. And so that experience that first year and subsequent years really, I think, shaped the way that I approached my work as a teacher, particularly in the realm of curriculum development. And so I went on to have an opportunity to actually develop my own math curriculum. And I decided to make an individually paced program. This was a pencil and paper program that I used in my own classroom for about 12 years. And that really became kind of the DNA of the company that I started about 6 years ago, Levered Learning.
Well, thank you for that context. And I'll share, you know, I taught fifth grade for 6 years and I think I topped out at 32. I don't think I got quite to 34. And, you know, it's a lot of students, just like you said, with a lot of different needs. And I think, you know, that leads us well into exploring this topic that we're talking about today of competency-based instruction. If anyone, you know, was scrolling through the Apple Podcast app or tapped on today's episode, right, and saw that in the title, you know, I love for us to really unpack that term as we, you know, dive in a little bit to this idea of competency-based instruction. Can you help unpack that term for us?
Sure. I mean, I think traditionally we think about the way that we structure and pace our curriculum kind of on a class by class level. And so I think that the kind of classic way this manifests itself is you're at a school, you're in the staff room the first week or two, and teachers will sit around at lunch and talk about their new class. They're kind of getting to know their students. And you'll hear teachers say things like, oh, I've got a really high group this year. You know, we're going to make it all the way through the book before the spring testing. And another teacher will be like, oh my gosh, I've got a really low group. We're probably going to have to do a lot of review. I don't know if we're going to make it through the last chapters, you know, by the end of the year. So, you know, it's those, the statistics chapter that gets left by the wayside, or the data and measurement, sometimes in the way that those books are structured. Mm-hmm. You know, and the problem is, while those kind of characterizations of the classes may make sense on the average, we know that there's students in every class that have struggled and that have gaps in their understanding. We know there's students in every class who actually are probably pretty much proficient and maybe ready for more challenge. And, you know, for the experience of an individual student to really be shaped by the composition of their other students in their class, you know, that's not really what our mission is, right? Our mission is to support every student. And so the kernel of competency-based instruction is really that there's really a sequence and a build to the concepts and skills that students are supposed to master, right? And different students are going to develop their mastery at different speeds. We know that. So rather than make these decisions about moving on from one unit to the next or one chapter to the next on a class by class level, the idea with competency-based instruction is that students individually demonstrate their competency with these different skills in sequence and move on when they're ready. So it's a highly differentiated and individualized approach. And so the course has to be arranged basically in a sequence of competencies, right? Which is kind of where the name comes from. We think about any course as a series of competencies that build on one another. And I think math especially lends itself to that. I mean, there really is so much of a build in how the foundational concepts of place value feed into understanding of addition and subtraction concepts and strategies. And multiplication and division and fractions into algebra. And, you know, it's very much a build. So that means, you know, to have that kind of a program, you have to have individualized assessment and planning so that each student can really advance at a pace that fits their individual level of understanding and that adapts to that level, right? When they start showing that they understand, they can move on more quickly. When they hit a wall and are struggling, they can go more slowly. So that's I think, the kind of my view of the basics of competency-based instruction.
Well, that's just a fantastic overview for us to dive into some of these technology connections, because, you know, think about that idea of tackling a classroom of 30 students, 20 students, maybe 120 students, right? Depending on your grade level, and being able to manage from a logistical standpoint, right? With the best of intentions to reach everyone where they are and move through that sequence. And we understand all of these things are important, but then kind of that how comes into play, right? Like, how are we going to make this happen? And so, you know, when we think about education technology or digital platforms, right? How can ed tech, the things that teachers have access to or could have access to, right? How might this support their goals around competency-based instruction?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, is how can technology make this doable? Because, that makes perfect sense. We should just assess every student individually and tailor their curriculum. But it's really hard to do. And the logistics can be overwhelming. And keep in mind, if you're an elementary teacher, math isn't the only thing you have to keep track of, right? You know, you're also teaching reading, writing, social studies, science. So this idea of, you know, when I ran my pencil and paper curriculum, it added you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours to every day of my prep, mm-hmm. which was, you know, I was the one crazy enough to do that for 12 years because it was so effective. But I don't expect all teachers to be able to do that or you know, have the time and space to do that. So the assessment is a big piece of that. You have to design those assessments. You have to give the assessments. You have to grade the assessments. And then you know where your students are, but then you still have to figure out what they should be working on, right? So that's the planning, the, you know, for me, it was photocopying and stapling and file folders and all that. If you go into, you know, classrooms that are using competency-based instruction in a more traditional kind of approach, the walls are covered with big charts where all the competencies are laid out with all this and sticky notes for each student that are kind of moved along. And it's a lot. So, you know, I tried to be really strategic when I was thinking about how to adapt my program to a technology-supported program about where the technology could step in. You know, individualized assessment and tracking of student progress is something that tech can actually do really well. So the idea is to free the teacher up and away from that paper chase of piles of folders and, you know, correcting 30 identical tests, which is, again, also something, especially in math, that the computer can do pretty effectively. And let the teacher really look at the data, see what the students are doing, and then make those key decisions about how to personalize the pathway of learning for every student. So we try to make that whole process much easier and shift the you know, the logistical kind of paper chase part of the job, automate that as much as possible and put the teacher in a position to do what's most important, which is to work with the students.
Yeah. And I think that automation piece is really crucial to narrow in on here, right? Just this idea that there's a level of ease and efficiency, the logistical components that happen, right, when it comes to setting up for success by gathering this information and taking kids on the pathway. And, you know, I appreciate what you said about where time is best spent, right? Which is really taking action or making instructional decisions. And, you know, I know when I talk to teachers about assessment and using technology to assess students and kind of figure out where they're at, I really try and emphasize the importance of taking action based on that data, right? There's no point in collecting this data unless we're going to do something with it. And maybe that's a big pivot, or maybe it's something everyone needs. But I know from my classroom experience, more often than not, it wasn't that everyone needed the same thing. It was that individuals or a couple students had something in common in terms of what they needed. So how does, you know, this competency-based instruction model using digital tools that go alongside of it really connect to goals that you hear teachers already have around formative assessment data?
Well, yeah, it's huge. I mean, having great data is great, but if you don't have, you know, the time and space to act on it and pathways, you know, mechanisms to do that, it doesn't do you much good. And you know, blended learning has kind of evolved to really be kind of the combination of these siloed tools, these different tools that have their own data sets, their own assessment, and they don't really integrate with one another. So you could have a great benchmarking tool and you end up with a printout in your mailbox at school where your kids are and what they're struggling with, but then what? Like in what part of your day do you get to cross-reference that to your, you know, your main textbook, find the right activities, you know, tailor that to every student. So what technology can do when we have an integrated system where that assessment is really threaded through all the parts of the, not just the curriculum, but the instructional tools, we can connect those dots for the teacher, right? And so the way we develop the Levered platform is that formative assessment data is being aggregated in real time and then presented to the teacher, where we can actually see these four students today are struggling with this skill. Mm-hmm. And if you click on that standard code, it's actually going to bring you to an example problem that you can then use either for a whole class math talk to start your whole class instruction and have a whole class discussion. If it's, you know, let's say it's 7 or 8 students that are struggling with that, well, that's a good topic for everyone to discuss. If it's only 2 or 3, you might pull those kids in an intervention group, a small tier 2 group, and just work through some examples with them and get them kind of talking and collaborating. But when you connect those dots, you know, here's the data. And by the way, here's, you know, what to do with it. Here are some activities that are aligned with this skill. Here are some suggested discussion questions that we actually give to the teacher to scaffold their instruction and get those conversations started with the teacher, with the students. That's kind of was our approach. Is like, the data is great. What do teachers actually do? What do we want teachers to be doing with that data? And how can we lower the friction in those steps?
Yeah. And I would imagine too, you know, as you're talking here and sharing these pieces and kind of that teacher role and what the student role looks like, you know, that when we're looking at things that are more individualized, that are more competency-based, that there's a level or a connection to student engagement as well, right? Because if things are for everyone, we're meeting no one, right? Or however those things go about, right? When we're really, you know, we're not looking at the individual needs of students, someone's going to tune out because something's too hard. Someone's going to tune out because something's too easy or because they've already spent time on this or they've got it or whatever it might be. So, you know, I'm curious when, you know, that term student engagement is sometimes thrown around a little bit loosely, but where does student engagement come into play when teachers are using different technology tools or even just those routines that they might use within a digital platform?
That's a good point. And engagement is kind of thrown around loosely. And I think it ties in with a lot of other, you know, with mindset, with student confidence. You know, when I first started visiting classrooms, the first few years that we put Levered into classrooms, I really took the time to visit every classroom and sometimes co-teach with teachers. Mm-hmm. Talk to teachers and talk to students to kind of see what was working and what we could improve. And the level of engagement was really off the chart. I mean, I teach students really enthusiastic about the program. And I initially thought it would be, you know, because of the characters and the animation, and the fun, you know, right. that aspect of it. There's a lot of talk about, you know, kind of game theory and game-based stuff, but that wasn't it. That's not what students were enthusiastic about. They were enthusiastic about their progress and about their productive struggle, right? And, and you know, again, when we're talking about that issue of students kind of being tied to a pace that's really not their pace, it's their classmates' pace. You know, there are a few kids in every classroom who are average, right? Who are kind of in the middle of the pack. But honestly, it's probably three or four kids who are right in that perfect middle of the bell curve.
Yeah.
And then for other kids, things are going too slowly. For other kids, they're going too quickly. Mm-hmm. When every student has that opportunity to struggle, to have some challenges, but have the time they need to make progress, to feel successful, and the scaffolds and supports from their teacher to see those scores going up, to have those light bulbs going off. I mean, that is intrinsically motivating. And that is the cycle that we're looking for, is to shift students' mindsets towards, oh, I can do math. This is fun. This is, you know, being challenged is an enjoyable thing, because when I go through those cycles and I see, you know, and students would run up to me at recess once they knew who I was. And like one would say, I just passed lesson four. I finally made it past lesson six. Another student, I'm on supplemental A, an enrichment activity. They had so much ownership over their learning, and they didn't necessarily register that the kid next to them was two lessons ahead or two lessons behind. It was about their struggle and their success. And to me, that's the critical piece with competency base, is that idea that when you allow students to be in their ZPD, right, in their sweet spot of challenge, learning, you know, you get back to that intrinsic joy of learning that can sometimes start to fall off when you get to fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, and kids feel like they're jumping through hoops. You know, you get that buy-in again when kids are really feeling the ownership of their own learning. So that's the goal for me. Yeah.
No, and those examples are just so, so wonderful, because, you know, when we use terms sometimes like student engagement, we're thinking bright and shiny and they're into it or whatever that might mean, but it's really about being in the flow of learning, right? And going deep into something that's just right for you, or kind of hitting all those right spots. So I think those examples of just your experiences, right, working with students, seeing these things in action, and then giving them that space for them to do things that teachers can then peek into, make decisions based on, right, and really have that actionable data is so huge. And, you know, you've mentioned Levered as we've been talking today, and would love to, you know, just hear a little bit more about what exactly it does and how someone can get started using the platform. I, of course, will, you know, there's links where everyone's listening today and where they can tap around in the description, but would love to hear from you. What does it do and how can someone get started?
Sure. I'm happy to answer that question. I want to touch on one thing that's rattling around in the back of my brain, and it's around that idea of automation. And I do think, you know, we need our technology tools to have a good degree of automation so that we can take things off of the teacher's plate. Mm-hmm. I also feel really strongly that we need to be able to override those automated aspects of a program and give teachers the agency to be professionals and decide when maybe the algorithm got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And that was always a frustration for me with some of the tools that I was using in my own classroom, is that black box nature of it. Like, well, the intelligent algorithm decided this is going to, so, you know, if you think an individual student is ready to move on, even though their score doesn't, you can move them on. Or if the program moves them on and you see a gap and you're like, you know what, you can move them back and you can really have those conversations, ideally in conversation with a student and make decisions together. But you can always override these suggestions. You can override the automatic kind of jumping around. So I want to kind of emphasize that mm-hmm. I don't want those key decisions to be completely taken out of the realm of the teacher's agency. That's really important to me as a former educator. So that's just wanted to throw that in. In terms of what Lever does, my goal, again, you know, my thesis was that blended learning does not have to be, you know, the Frankenstein monster of a bunch of different tools. So my goal was to create a comprehensive 21st century instructional system. So that means a high quality curriculum with really solid pedagogy. We focus on a realistic mathematics education framework, which means we introduce new ideas with a lot of visual real world connections, so kids can really build their understanding, connect their learning to their prior experience. So that online, you know, individually paced curriculum is a big part of the program, but it's not enough to just stick kids in front of a computer and give them, you know, automated curriculum. So there's also a whole class aspect to the program. And so that formative data, when it's presented to the teacher, is really what drives the selection of math talk questions that you can use for whole class instruction to launch every session. So a leveraged session actually starts with a whole class activity. Kids, you know, devices are put away, the teacher is sharing their screen, and you'll walk through some questions as a class. And that's how you really can get into, you know, if you're a Common Core line, those eight standards for mathematical practice, get kids to access, you know, those higher order thinking skills, and also access their academic language and vocabulary, which is critical for all students, but especially for English learners. And so there's that whole class aspect. You'll start with 10 or 15 minutes of that, get kids, maybe a think, pair, share is my favorite. Then you get them into their individual work. And then again, rather than, okay, now the computer's in charge, the teacher goes right to that data and starts pulling small groups. And so you will cycle through groups of two or three students at a time based on what the data is telling you to give that extra support when students need it. And there's also a pencil paper collaborative set of activities that go with the program so that kids can take a break from the computer, do some more high level thinking. Those are actually role-based activities. So different students kind of have different jobs and responsibilities to give really a balanced instructional system where there's whole class, there's small group, there's individual, so that, you know, it's not that you can't blend levered with other tools, but all the kind of foundational pieces are there.
I just love that idea of the balance of having things that are actionable for teachers that take on these different models that we know. We love that whole class time. We love the small group and individualized piece. We love that there's the technology, but also that face-to-face time and collaborative side-by-side talk it out pieces. So I really appreciate just that context of all the things that Levered can do. And so before we officially finish up today, and as I mentioned, anyone who's listening, you can find links to all the things right here in the description for the episode, including the show notes, which will have our transcript and extra pieces there too. But where can listeners go to connect with you and learn more about your work?
Yeah, that's easy. Just, you know, our website is www.levered.com. You can also follow us. We're easy to find on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to reach out directly, you can send an email to info@levered.com. That's L-E-V-E-R-E-D. It's really easy to get started with the program. You know, we typically do, for when we onboard a new school or a new teacher, like a 90-minute onboarding. Again, the tools are fairly intuitive. And with single sign-on and automatic rostering, we can get you up and running in a matter of days. And I know we're in, you know, the middle of the school year now in October. The first few years that we piloted this program, we actually started with, you know, fourth grade fractions. It was our initial kind of program. And we started in December. And we saw consistently, even that late in the school year, you know, if you get fourth grade fractions right, it shows mm-hmm. up. And so we saw, you know, student growth on state tests upwards of 50% above, you know, state averages. I saw, you know, individual student data where kids were, you know, making 2 years of growth in half a year. And again, it's not necessarily because they learned 2 years of math in half a year, but that mindset shift mm-hmm. and that enthusiasm shift, they were just engaging in a totally different way with the material. So, you know, we know how hard it is for everyone out there. We know that people are thinking mm-hmm. about other things right now, but we, you know, we can really, you know, take math off your plate and give teachers, even new teachers. I know there's more new folks coming into the profession with all the shortages right now, and it's a heavy lift. And so we want to make it easier for teachers and students and families. So, you know, that's what gets me out of bed every morning. And I do love what I do. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share. And we'd love to hear from anyone that would like to learn more.
Well, thank you so much, Mitch, for taking time to share today. And just as you mentioned, right, this has been a very different school year. And this time now, right, this late October time, if anyone's listening to the episode as soon as it goes live, right, is a good time to take that deep breath and assess where we're at and think about new things that might be the right time now to bring into their routine. So thank you again so much for your time today.
Thank you, Monica. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm so glad I had a chance to chat with Mitch today. It was such an actionable conversation with lots of takeaways. And I want to finish up today like we do for every episode with some tips for taking action and making this EdTech easy. First, rethink how you move through curriculum. Next, collect actionable formative assessment data. Then, override automations to maintain teacher agency. And finally, share competency-based learning ideas with your colleagues. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at Levered. A big thank you to our sponsor, Levered Learning, for this episode. No matter what the school year tosses your way, Levered Systems' level approach to teaching and learning will be key to building back with an accelerated learning path for every student. If you'd like to learn more about how Levered can impact your teacher satisfaction and student impact, email info@levered.com and ask for the Digital Promise Brief. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any favorite podcast app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with a podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for this upcoming new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.